today. But I'm going to sit in the Old Testament times. They sat and taught in the synagogue. So we're going back in the Old Testament today. We're going to go back and we're going to look at a story, David and Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you're there, everybody turn there. If you got your smartphones, you can use it. Go there that way. I still like to carry my Bible, of course, my black Bible. But this is an old story. Most of us, if you've been in church any time at all, you know this story. Even if you haven't even been in church that much, you've heard about this story because they use it in sports and everything else. It's an old story, but there's a part that's not told, and I hope to tell that part today to help you see it in a new way today. Almost all children in Sunday school are told the story of David and Goliath. Does anybody remember the felt boards? telling the story of David and Goliath. And we know all about, the tall giant named Goliath. The young David brings food to his brothers and, in the army. So I see some parents out there teaching their kids what a felt board is right now. I don't think Megan knows what a felt board is. Well, I should have brought a felt board. That's what I should have done. I should have, for a visual aid, and she'd have known what a felt board was. But we all know about how tall he was, the giant. Young David brings food out to his brothers that are in the army and uses a slingshot and five smooth stones, is what the word says, kills Goliath and defeats the Philistines. But the heart of this story is often overlooked. Am I too loud? Do I sound loud? I sound very loud up here to me, but I don't know if I need to be turned down just a touch. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write some things down that I think will help you about the Old Testament. There's a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament, and it helps us to understand those things because then it brings more revelation from the Word of God. Even though I want you to know, did this actually happen? Yes, it did. But in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how the Old Testament was written for an example. And if you've ever studied in the New Testament, I don't have time to get into all this, but even the Apostle Paul talked about when they went through the Red Sea, that was a type and shadow of baptism. And so there's lots of types and shadows in the Old Testament that minister to us today. And so this is going to help bring more revelation, I believe, for you. This is things you didn't learn on the felt board. You weren't taught on the felt board. But we all need to know this story. But the five smooth stones, there's a reason why God said there was five smooth stones. The stones in the Old Testament, stones represent the law of God. And the smooth means, the reason why he said they were smooth, they weren't just rough stones. I know I got this graphic. I was trying to find ones with smooth stones. I couldn't find them. So this was the graphic I had to find. But there was five smooth stones. The stones represent the law. The smooth means finished. They were finished stones. Some of you are already getting ahead of me. I think Dad's already getting ahead of me. And then five means Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which was the law. But also in the New Testament, five means grace. And here's the scripture I want to give you that with the five smooth stones. John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." He fulfilled everything in the law. Everything. It's finished. It's a finished work. So we fight from a finished place. It is a finished work. We still have to fight the good fight of faith, but we have to renew our mind according to the Word of God that we fight from a finished place. And everybody said, amen. That's good news. And it's the best news ever, that John 19, verse 30. Now, the next thing that we need to know, and if you're taking notes, and I'm going to read part of the story here in just a second, but Philistine means to wallow in the dust of self. Goliath was a Philistine. So a Philistine means to wallow in the dust of self. Goliath, that his actual name means to be in exile. And so exile means the state of being barred from one's native country. And here's what I want to tell every one of you in here. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. You're not in exile. You're a citizen of heaven. David, I love what David's name means. His name means it means love as a brother, or it means relational love, talking about, not about religion, but a relationship with the Heavenly Father is what he had. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you five lessons for the symbolic of the five smooth stones, five lessons that I believe is going to help you in your walk with God today. And everybody said, and this is all about renewing your mind according to the Word of God. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and starting in verse 45. And it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" This is a teenager, and he is doing some smack talking now because he knew who he was in Christ. You need to write that out there. He knew who he was in the Lord his God. He knew who he was. Verse 47 says, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth." And we told this story to kids in children's church, okay? And verse 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David," and remember this, okay? Remember, there was no sword. He did this with the five smooth stones, but there was no sword. Verse 51 says, "Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it." That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 41. Now, here's the lessons that we're going to learn today. Is everybody ready? Learn some lessons? All right, here's number one. Number one, we need a vision, not a nightmare, of who we are in Christ. I don't want to live the nightmare that I have to get saved every day. I want to live with a vision that I am created in the image of God, and I want to renew my mind according to the Word of God and know who I am in Christ. If you weren't here last Sunday, please go back and watch it online. You really need to watch it online, and you need to hear it too. But you really need to watch the message that Mark Schell brought. He brought up here, and I know Dusty and I talked about it this week. He said that visual aid has really helped me this week. But he put three chairs up here, and he talked about there's three heavens, and where we're at, we're in the second heaven. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're safe and secure in the third heaven, according to Ephesians. You are. But where the battle's at is in the second heaven. The enemy's been defeated, but what we have to renew is our mind. We have to know the position that we have in Christ so that we can rule and reign on the earth. And I'm telling you guys, it was a great teaching. It really helped me. It opened up a lot of revelation to me, and it brought even more revelation in this story with David and Goliath. I encourage you to go back online and watch that message. Either watch it on Church's Aid or on Facebook. I think we have it on our Facebook page as well. But we need a vision, and I said not a nightmare, because living a life where you feel like that you're not saved every day is a nightmare. Don't ask me how. I've done it. I've lived like that before. Every day I woke up, am I saved? If I messed up, God's mad at me, hates me, and I'm not going to heaven. No, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I'm talking you really receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are safe and secure. But then the Holy Spirit works with you and on you and through you to work out your salvation is what the Bible talks about, and that's the sanctification process. Every one of us in here are a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. We're all in a work in progress. And so David had this vision of who he was in Christ, even as a young man. And so I wrote this up here, and I want to share this. The battle of life is to understand your relationship to the Father and battling against thoughts that that make you wallow in self and feel as though you're exiled, separated, and denounced by actions, whether they're past, present, or future. That's a mouthful. Basically, that's just summing up. We all need to know who we are in Christ. You need a vision of that, because if you don't have that vision, every day you're going to be living a nightmare, because we all mess up. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all, here's another word for mess up, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so we need that lesson. Amen? And I love this. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle?" And I just want you to think about Goliath. It's symbolic of your flesh man. He's all the time talking to you. "Am I not a Philistine and you're not the servants of Saul? Choose a man, have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then as the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the armies of Israel, give me a man and let us fight each other.'" On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and they were terrified. They were living in fear. And for 40 days, in verse 16, it says, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. You know what? There was a man who defeated sin and death, and his name was Jesus at the cross. That is the finished work that we all live in, but we have to fight from that finished work. All right, here's lesson number two. Lesson number two, see the princess, not the problem. I'm going to explain that here in just a second. See the princess, not the problem. Your perspective gives your life directive. The way you see yourself in your relationship with God, it gives your life directive. If you see yourself as a son of the Most High God, and I'm ruling and reigning in life, you're going to hold your head high. Now, to some religious people, you come across as cocky and arrogant. But you're not, because we're going to see this in David's life. He came across as a little cocky, arrogant little teenager, and his brother's like, "What are you doing out here, dude? You need to go home, take care of the sheep." He's like, "Man, is there not a cause? This guy is insulting our God, you know." Was David afraid? You bet he was. I don't want to make it sound like that David wasn't afraid. He was afraid as well. But here's what happened. He had a perspective. He knew who he was. He knew he was a Hebrew. He was a child of the Most High God. And here's what you've got to do. You have got to keep your eyes on the prize, not on the problem in life. Every one of us in here have problems. But you've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You need to see the princess, not the problem. And I'm going to explain that, okay? We're going to look at this next scripture. So I'm like, everybody's looking at me like, what's a princess? All right. Now, the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter, there's the princess, in marriage. Okay, he's a young man. He's a teenager. He's a good-looking teenager boy is what the word says. And he heard that, and he's like, I'm seeing the princess now, not the problem. Forget Goliath, I see the princess. Some of you are getting it now. Daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Hello, we're coming up on tax day, April the 15th. I wish I was exempt from taxes as well. Verse 26 says, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David, and there's a reason why, you know, he said the uncircumcised means this guy, this person who I'm up against today is not even in covenant with my God. It's not in covenant with my God that he should defy the armies of the living God. Verse 27, they repeated to him. Now, I want you to know this. Everybody say repeated. Sometimes when you're facing problems in life, you've got to repeat to yourself who you are in Christ and that you're going to rule and reign over that. So they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. David kept hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. And so this was building even more faith in David's heart. Was he afraid? Yes, he was. He was just like those guys out there. He was afraid, but he also knew that, hey, I see the princess, not the problem, if I can go tackle this. And so that was what was going on in David's young heart's mind, so to speak, what was going on. And it was helping him overcome his fear. that he was having. All right. Everybody getting something this morning?
Amen.
All right. Here's lessons to learn number three. There is a cause. There is a cause. When you're going through stuff, you may not know this, but people are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. And the cause is that your life would show forth the victory of the cross. Amen. That's what I want that to be what my life, not just because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. I want my life to show forth, to bring glory and honor to God. When people hear Mark Haney and hear my voice and around me, I want them to come into a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want. I love Kent come up and was talking about with his job, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but he was talking about how he's been given some more control with his job out here and an authority, and he's bringing Christ into the workplace. That's what we're all here to do. Wherever your arena is at, you know, your circle of influence, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, is to bring the victory of the cross, bringing Jesus into our workplaces. Amen? And you don't have to preach it. It's just your lifestyle, just loving on people and being there for people. So he said that there is a cause, and that was the cause, and this is where it comes out at. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? Believe me, when you start getting around some religious people, they're going to try to bring you down in your relationship with God. And with whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now, brother? Is there not a cause? There's a cause here today. And David knew it. And he went out against the Philistine. And we all know how this story ends, but we're going to keep going through this because there's two more things that I want to share with you today. Here's lesson number four. So there's a cause. The cause is that we all want to bring honor and glory to God with our lives. Here's the lesson to learn. And we can't, and to do that, here, and I just feel like somebody needs to hear this. To do that, you cannot live in fear. You can't. You're going to have to face the fear. You're going to have to face it. I had to face my fear. I knew that God was calling me to do this, and I didn't want to do this. I wanted somebody else to do this. I wanted to be Travis. Travis has his calling. I have my calling. All right? But I wanted to be Travis's calling. I wanted to be back. By the way, Travis, we're going to get you out behind the sound booths one of these days anyway. But he had a prophetic word given to him about that. But that's what I wanted to do. And God kept saying, no, I want you teaching my word. I want you doing this. And guys, I'm telling you, I the first time I ever got up to public speak, I thought I was going to die. I did. I really did. My heart was racing, and I was like, Lord, if you don't show up, these people are, I'm running out the side door. I was always looking for exits to run out. And God has been with me, but I had to face that fear, guys, to overcome that fear. And he'll be with you, too, with whatever he's telling you to face. But you got to face that fear, and David did. Okay, here's number four. Lessons to learn. The fourth one, you have a choice on who you're going to trust. You have a choice on who you're going to trust. I'm going to show you this. But I want to say this. Bad decisions, and we learned this last week from Mark Shell, bad decisions create enemies called memories you have to fight all the rest of your life. You're still right with God. You're still right in the third heaven. You just have to fight to feel that way. You have to renew your mind according to the Word of God. And we have to do that daily. I die daily. And so I want to show you this in the Word of God, what I'm talking about. Saul replied, and this is Saul. Here's another, we're going to call it religious person, telling David, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping. I love this about David. And this is how David, this is a little side note for you. This was how David was overcoming his fears that he was having himself. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. He's like, golly, kid, get out of here. You know, go do it. And verse 38 says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic because that's, here's the deal, that's what all the other warriors looked out there that day. Everybody in the army of Israel, everybody was dressed up like this. And so David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he said, this is where the choice was made. He said, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off, and look what he took up. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose five smooth stones, the finished work of the cross from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He went with who he was in Christ, not in somebody else. He wasn't copycatting somebody else. Amen? And a lot of us live our lives. I've done it myself, trying to copycat, because I'm called to be a pastor, trying to copycat another pastor. I want to be like him. I want to have a ministry like him. And it's kind of like that commercial, that tattoo guy. Have you ever seen that commercial? Stay in your lane, bro. You know, stay in your lane, bro. And that's what the Lord tells me. Mark, stay in your vein. I called you to be a country pastor and to sit up there in front of your congregation in jeans and boots and teach the word. That's what I called you to do. And so stay in your lane, bro. And so that's what was going on with David. He was staying in his lane. And everybody said, amen. Amen. He went in his own identity in Christ. Now, here's something that I want to show you in the Word that I've never seen before. I've read it, but it just, man, I'm telling you what, this just leapt in my spirit when I learned this. And this is the last lesson to learn, number five. Your past victories will be waiting for you in your future assignments. And what happens is your attack becomes your advantage. And this is, man, this is good when I saw this in the Word of God. And this is actually a few chapters later in the Word, because we're in 1 Samuel 17. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 21. This is where another reference to the sword of Goliath, because that's how David took his head off, right? Okay, look at this. This is awesome. And David said to Elimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? Now, let me back up. David went to the temple. You got to know this. This is 14 years later, okay? So if he was around, you know, some scholars say David was 12, 13, 14. So if we say 14 years later, it, you know, he's anywhere from, you know, 27 to 30 years old at this time. And he goes to the temple one day, and he's been on assignment from the king, doing the king's business. And it says this, and David said to Elimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. So the priest said, there's going to be some things sometimes come up in your life that you're not going to feel like you're totally equipped for. But the things that you've been through has equipped you for that moment. Yes. All right? And so in verse 9 it says, so the priest said, the sword of Goliath, they put this sword was so awesome, they put this sword in the temple to remind them of the victory that David had that day in the Valley of Elah. So the priest said to him, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. Everybody say, behind the ephod. All right. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here. And David, I love this. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. It took him back to that day in the Valley of Elah, when he conquered his fears and conquered Goliath. He said, man, there is none like it. Give it to me. This is so good, guys. This is so good. Up there in the scripture where it says, there it is wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. And so when I saw that, and I hope when you're reading scripture, and I want to help you learn how to read scripture, and, you know, Mark Shell, when he was teaching last week, we had the Word of God, even though, because I've heard people say, oh, the Old Testament is just nothing but history. Yes, I understand that's a true statement, but it's a spiritual book. It was written by the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to understand it and the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. And so I'm, as your teacher, as your pastor, I want to help you with that. And so when I, and this is what happened with me. When I was studying this, I was like, because I forgot about this story that he went back and got this sword one day 14 years later, and he says, there's none like it, give it to me. And I was like, but why was it wrapped in cloth behind the ephod? That's what jumped out at me. I said, there's got to be some, this is the Holy Spirit teaching me, there's got to be some spiritual reason for that. That just doesn't come up in Scripture. It could have been laying anywhere around the temple, but that, it says that's where it was at. And so here's what I found out, and I'm going to, this relates to us because this is a type and shadow for us today. Ephod has two meanings. Number one, it was part of the priest's dress, part of his wardrobe, his garment. And what it relates to us is our image. So every one of you in here were created in the image of God. Amen? Every one of us. So it talks about our image, who we are in Christ. And there were colors represented with this ephod. And I'm going to give you what the colors were. The colors were blue, purple, scarlet, and gold thread held it together. Now, so here's what these colors mean to us. The colors mean something in Scripture as well. There's spiritual, there's spiritual meaning behind colors. Blue means this, means unlimited heavenly authority. Every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have authority in Christ. Not in yourself, but in Christ you have authority. Amen? And it's unlimited. As you sit in that second heaven in that third seat, you're his representative in the earth. Purple means royalty by relationship. So by relationship, you're royalty. Amen? We're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're all princes and princesses. There's one king, and that's Jesus. Amen? All right. So, and the scarlet represents the blood, which puts us in, kinship with, that's how we can come to the Father now, is through the blood of Jesus, through his sacrifice at the cross. And then gold thread held it together. Gold represents purity. Now, I want you to write this down, because we all need to know this. And this is what this story is really teaching us, the story of David and Goliath. If I could tell you the sermon in the sentence, this would be it. The devil has authority where you lack identity. If you want to flip that to the positive, you have authority when you know who you are in Christ. The devil has authority where you lack identity. And so here's the symbolic meaning of this ephod, and with the sword wrapped up in it, glass sword. The symbol meaning is my garment or attitude or mindset and disposition is that I am. And I want you to think, I don't have them up here, but I just want you to think of three chairs sitting up here. The three chairs, the third chair being the third heaven, the second chair is where you're at, the first chair is in the earth, okay? But just get your mind focused on the second chair, because that's where you're supposed to be at. The symbolic meaning is my garment or attitude or mindset and disposition is that I am, number one, I am seated in heavenly places. You're blue, man. You're the blue man. Look at somebody and say, you're the blue man. You know the blue man? You need to paint yourself blue. Freedom! Some of you got that. Braveheart. You are seated in heavenly places. You are free in Christ because of what he did at the cross. Number two is I am royal by kinship of the blood of Jesus. And so you're wearing also purple and scarlet. And number three, I am pure before the Father because of Jesus, and that knowledge of purity is what keeps me thinking I have righteous power. That's the gold. You're right. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're as pure as gold. Amen? Even when you mess up, we have to remind ourselves, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so when you know who you are in Christ, that attack becomes your advantage. When he saw that and he saw that ephod, he took him back to that day, and he knew that he had the victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure I do this every Sunday. I want to make sure that you know who you are in Christ before you leave here today. And it's very simple. All we have to do, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul taught us in Romans chapter 10, he says, I need you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I need you to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And every one of us in here are whosoever's, even those that are watching by church's aid, those will be watching online, those that are listening to this by radio, every one of us are whosoever's. This is how everybody comes to Jesus and comes to the Father, is through Jesus. And so I want to lead you in a prayer today, and it's a prayer of salvation to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and you rose again on the third day. And you did this all for me. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The next thing that needs to happen, if that's the first time you've ever prayed that, is you need to follow the Lord in water baptism. And I love those memories that come up on Facebook, on my Facebook memories, because this morning I had a memory of being able to baptize my nephew Keaton up here. And it's been several years ago. But if you've never done that, that's your next step of obedience and following the Lord, is water baptism. And we can do that. We can do that next Sunday. As a matter of fact, I was just sitting here also thinking about last night. We had Desiree Krause came by the house last night, and I can remember her mom has went home to be with the Lord, but we baptized her mother up here one Sunday. Never forget that. And but that's your next step that you need to follow the Lord in, and I'd be honored to be able to do that for you. But I want everybody to stand in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Did everybody learn something today? Okay, I pray that I hope you saw that story in a different way today that's going to help you know who you are in Christ and to face your fears, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. 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 I want you to go hug somebody's neck and say, be sure you have your five smooth stones, because it's finished.